Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're joined by Bill Gertz, the man we turn to each week for, well, a tour inside the ring. That's the title, of course, of his award-winning Washington Times column. He is also a senior editor with the Washington Free Beacon, one of the finest journalists covering the national security beat of our time, and always a welcome guest here. Bill, glad to have you back.
Hi, Frank. Good to be on the show.
You wrote a rather critical piece about the president's State of the Union address as it related to his sort of view, not so much of the Union, but of international affairs, foreign policy, and his security policies. Bill, talk a little bit about your take on all of that.
Right. During the State of the Union last week, the president outlined pretty much a heavy economic and domestic focus, and I did a piece that looked at his foreign and national security policies, which to me were, I described them at least in the headline, as pacifist and basically defeatist in a larger sense. This was really a look at why the United States is not taking aggressive action against terrorism, why it's not standing up to bullies like and aggressors like Vladimir Putin, and why he's pushing forward with an Iranian nuclear deal at all costs, which is the worst form of appeasement in modern times that I can think of.
Yeah. Well, pacifist, defeatist, appeasing. Another phrase that's been applied to it is delusional, Bill. The president seemed to be saying that all was well, kind of, at the same time as he was sort of laying out why we're not doing more. What's your read on that?
Well, you know, it is kind of delusional. It made me think of the situation in Yemen, where we've had basically a Shiite coup against a pro-Western, working with us in counterterrorism regime there. It was just a short time ago that the president used Yemen as a showcase for his policies, and now we're seeing failures across the globe because of these policies. And these policies are based around the idea that the problem is America, and that America is too strong, that America is too assertive in the world, and it's a disaster. It's very similar to what we saw happen during the administration of President Jimmy Carter, where we had weak policies and this false liberal notion that if somehow we're nice to foreign powers, that they'll be nice back to us. And that's just a total misreading of the world situation. And we're seeing it much worse now under the Obama administration.
Yeah, it's Carter on steroids, really. And it's not just misreading of current events. It's a misreading, of course, of history. Bill, one of the places where that misreading is really bearing very poisonous fruit is in Ukraine at the moment. You've written about it. There have been developments over the weekend. This seems to really be a deteriorating situation in terms of Russian confidence that they can get away with doing whatever they wish in eastern Ukraine. Is that your read?
Yes, I did a piece in my Inside the Ring column that was based on a dispatch from Phil Carber, the Georgetown professor who is on a fact-finding mission to Ukraine, and he said the situation is dire. The Russians are moving in aggressively in the eastern part of Ukraine. The rebels are making advances on Mariupol, which is the key Black Sea port there, and he was saying what's really urgently needed is U.S. lethal assistance, which the Obama administration continues to refuse to supply to the Ukrainian military. In particular, he said they need Javelin anti-tank missiles and other types of anti-tank weaponry that can break through these Russian tanks that are being brought into the country in the eastern part and also supplying the rebels, especially in the Donetsk region.
And Bill, there's no question now, according to Phil Carber and your reporting, that these are Russian units that are operating there. It's not they're going through the motions of having rebels operating equipment that they've managed to secret into this place.
Absolutely. And on top of that, the Russians have waged a very effective information warfare campaign that is convincing people or creating doubts in the elites throughout Europe that somehow this isn't really a fully Russian operation to basically split up this key country that wants to be a friend with the West and with NATO. It's really a challenge for NATO.
They're doing it certainly piecemeal, if not in whole. It is definitely a divide and conquer kind of approach. Bill, let me switch to another place where we've seen a real setback, and that is with respect to Chinese cyber espionage against key defense contractors and Pentagon secrets. A sort of showcase for this is the F-35 stealth fighter, the widely expected to be the mainstay of the United States military. Three services are using it in the future. Talk about what the Chinese have gotten and what its implications are.
Sure. Yeah, I was reminded last night during the Pro Bowl game, they had the first public flyover of the F-35. And all I could think about was how China had pillaged our defense secrets that went into this frontline stealth fighter, this sixth generation fighter. Under documents released by Snowden and published in Der Spiegel, we got the first look at the actual levels of detail that the Chinese were able to obtain through cyber espionage, important critical details on the F-35. Specifically, they were able to understand its new phased array radar. This is a high-tech radar system that is used to be able to maintain its low visibility to foreign radar. Additionally, they were also able to get extremely valuable information on the jet engines used by the F-35, and specifically how those engines are able to mask the heat signatures, which is another critical feature for stealth jets. So they've basically been able to steal this technology, not only that, but to apply it in some of their own aircraft, including the J-20.
And what this has translated into, Bill Gertz, as you've made clear in your reporting at the Washington Times and over the months in the Washington Free Beacon, is that you have, in fact, both allowed the Chinese to, well, to use the expression Ma would have used, a great leap forward in terms of their own capabilities, as you say, the J-20 and perhaps other stealth fighters, but also to understand what may be vulnerabilities of the F-35 that they can exploit at will, to the detriment, again, of this country should we wind up having to come to blows with them. Bill, one other place where you've been reporting, we're going to talk more about it with our next guest, Gordon Chang, but I would like to get your views on what's happening on the Korean Peninsula, especially in connection with a war game that is currently underway, as I understand it, at Special Operations Command involving General Scaparotti, the top American commander on the peninsula. What's going on?
Yeah, the General Scaparotti is in Tampa at the SOCOM War Game Center, and they're beginning to look at scenarios for a possible Korean conflict. It's kind of an eye-opener. It's a high-level strategy seminar. That's what the Pentagon's billing it. And among the scenarios they're looking at is how to stop North Korea's new road mobile ICBM, dubbed the KN-08, as well as North Korean cyber attacks and other new capabilities. So this is a sign that this could be part of the president's promised retaliation against North Korea for its hacking of Sony Pictures Entertainment last November.
Or it may simply be contending with a growing threat. And as you've pointed out, Bill, I think, in fact, you broke the story that KN-08 is now road mobile because of Chinese launchers that were provided against UN sanctions and certainly against our interests. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. This was a Chinese-built launcher that was the Chinese said that they exported it for lumber. It was a total deception. No one has sanctioned the Chinese for it, as they have not sanctioned China going back to the 80s when they helped Pakistan develop its nuclear program. It highlights the threat of Chinese nuclear proliferation. And in this case, it's a very real threat to the United States.
It is indeed. Bill, we've got less than a minute left. Very quickly, your appreciation of Chuck Hagel's tenure as Secretary of Defense.
Well, you know, I mean, he came in as the global zero defense secretary, and I think it's been characterized by someone that really was not well suited for the job. This was a person that really, I think, set back U.S. efforts to try and rebuild defenses, which are so urgently needed, facing severe budget cuts as well as the need to recapitalize the force.
Yeah, it may not have been a global zero, but it certainly was a giant zero. He's now going out, I gather, in his swan song exit interviews with people complaining about the condition of the United States military. He didn't do much to fix it. Bill, you do much to try to at least make sure we understand what the stakes are for our military and our country more generally with your terrific column Inside the Ring at the Washington Times and, of course, the work you do at the Washington Free Beacon. Keep it up and come back to us again next week, if you would. Next up, we will speak with Gordon Chang. We'll take stock with him of some of those developments on the Korean Peninsula and more right after this.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.